It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to a Game 7 victory episode of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. My partner in crime next to me in studio, McKendree Bearcat hockey head coach Gary Henson. What's going on, G?
How are you?
I'm excited.
Yeah?
Why not?
Unreal.
What a game.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you know, the only thing that comes to mind last night is, you know, Russell Crowe saying, "Are you not entertained?" I mean, are you kidding me?
Man.
Let me tell you something. Okay. And it's okay for anybody to have felt this way. But, man, you're sitting there going, we are freaking dominating, and we're going to get a bad bounce.
Even Patrick Sharp said
I'm like, oh, my God. But you know what?
Yeah, but you know what? Screw Patrick Sharp.
Yeah,
he played for the Hawks.
That's right. He did screw Patrick Sharp. But you know what, man? There was the only thing that was like making me go, it's different, is because did you see? I don't know if you noticed this. Yeah, I'm sure you did. There were the three or four times where they did have a little pressure, they missed by like an inch. Like a pass across, a guy that was open, a puck that squirted loose. I'm sitting here going, in years past, that's in the back of our net and it's another heartbreak. But this year, for some reason, the puck missed by an inch. It went this way. Somebody stuck a stick out. There was so much of that shit going on that I'm sitting here going,
since
this is going to be different.
When they tied the game,
yes,
off the referee.
Yeah, off the ref.
How many Blues fans were going, come on.
Yeah, I'm sitting here going, well, number one, I'm cussing David Perron like a sailor. At first, I am. I'm going, what in the world? What kind of back? Like, just throw it backhanded around the board. What are you doing? What are you throwing it that way for? And then all of a sudden, then I see that it hit the ref.
Yeah, he made a right play.
Yeah, I'm sitting there going, because I'm sitting there going, it looked like he turned and, you know how he went on the forehand and did it?
Right.
I thought he was doing that purposely to almost like pass it to himself where he comes around. Because I'm like, why else would you show through that angle? Then on the replay, I see that it hit the ref. So, hey, we thought we were going to get some time in here to talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
But somebody's dying to get in
without
here.
Without the big kahuna.
Yeah, you can hear it's in the, when that music plays, he's not letting us play. The one, the only, the hardest working man in show business in St. Louis, especially probably today. I got to ask before you even say a word, will today be the definition of coming in hot?
Yeah, phone started ringing at 8:30 this morning. We had our good friend Bernie Miklas was wanting to chat some Blues hockey for his radio show. So the action has been fast and furious ever since, and it'll probably keep going until about 6 or 7 tonight.
You're going to be like Daenerys Strongborn from Game of Thrones. You're going to need an intro from now on. Jamie Rivers, reporter of Fox Sports, reporter of 101 ESPN, breaker of curses, prognosticator of game-winning goals. I mean, you may need an entrance like her on Game of Thrones. You think you're ready for that?
Dude, as long as the Blues keep winning, I'll do whatever it takes.
Well, I can tell you, it was exciting. You know what's interesting for me, and I'm just going to make an observation. You played in the league for a long time, you know, so you've been all over the world playing hockey. You cover hockey. You work with players. You've impacted tons of lives in the game of hockey.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but did you see how excited Riz was? That's my point on this whole thing.
No, yeah.
Even a guy like that, you and Cam Jansen and all these guys, seeing how excited you guys are, and I the story is unreal. You know, with the hometown kid and all the things that have went on. I mean, you talk about a script. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last night after the show, Scott Warman and I, and I couldn't help but think, you know, how many times that, even growing up for me personally, that I had scored the overtime winner in game 7, and, you know, you're celebrating in your driveway or in your little backyard rink or whatever it is, and then, you know, you catch yourself in the moment, you look around hoping, oh, I hope nobody heard me doing that, you know, because, you know, you get so caught up in it. So can you imagine how Pat Maroon feels, you know, to go out there and he has a great game. He's been a huge impact for this team for the last, gosh, at least the second half of the season and certainly the playoffs. And, you know, home ice, game 7, double overtime. I mean, God, even Hollywood couldn't write it this good. And, you know, Robert Thomas, who was an absolute, just a stud last night, pulls the puck out of the pile, goes top shelf on Benny, beats him, goes off the post, off the back, and Patty Maroon goes to where he should be going, in front of the net, the big rig, and he taps home the rebound in front of, you know, friends and family and, I mean, everyone in St. Louis and everybody watching. What a moment for that guy.
And his son.
Yeah, and his son, for Christ's sake.
I mean, everybody, and, you know, I really thought it was, it was telling that when he skates over, like immediately out of the pile, he skates over and makes a beeline right for Craig Berube.
Yes.
And they have a moment there where it's not coach player anymore. It's like buddies, friends, I care about you, like family moment. And they have a hug. You know, two huge men having a real hug right there after the game. But to me, it just says a lot about, you know, what Craig Berube has done with this team, but also with Pat Maroon, you know, and the confidence that he's put back into Patty. Because let's be honest, halfway through the season, Patty barely wanted to make eye contact with anybody walking around St. Louis because things weren't going well. And now, I mean, let's be honest, May 7th, from here on out, in the city of St. Louis, must be declared Pat Maroon Day.
Yeah, is that,
holy,
yeah.
Holy shit! Right?
Yes. Yeah, it's good to be Pat Maroon today for sure. I thought one of the best things ever was I can't remember who said it to him at the end of the interview, but they said they doubt very much he'll ever have to buy a beer in town ever again. It might have been, yeah. I don't know if it was Pang or who it was, but.
It was JK.
It was
JK.
Yeah, he will not have to buy a beer. It's just, for me, the whole sequence was unbelievable. And one of the guys in the office who really enjoys backstories, you know, asked me today, he's like, you know, are you going to mention on air that it's, you know, it's 2019. Look how far hockey's come. What a great picture circulating on social media today of Ben Bishop from St. Louis being scored on by a St. Louis kid in game 7 to go to the semifinals with that St. Louis flag in the background. Could you ever imagine that happening?
That's crazy. You know, I think that picture right there should be put into the St. Louis Hockey Hall of Fame here, because it really is. There's two guys who are part of, you know, I call them the pioneers because they're just a little bit older than that last little group that came through here in the first round here. But, you know, Cam Jansen, Paul Stastny, Ben Bishop, Pat Maroon, those are guys that, I mean, God, they paved the way. They really have.
Yeah, Joey and Vitale.
Joey Vitale, yes. I remiss not to mention his name. But it was a great moment and a sad moment all at the same time, because obviously we're Blues fans and we wanted to win. And beating Ben Bishop was the only way we could win. But I'm so happy for Ben Bishop that he stood on his head and put on a performance of the ages himself, so that, you know what? Look, Pat Maroon walks around town for the rest of his life with his head held high, probably doesn't buy a beer or a meal again for the rest of his life. But Ben Bishop also walks around town here for the rest of his life, knowing that it took everything this city had to get by him. It was pretty miraculous.
I was going to ask you what the number, 52 means to you. 52 saves. And I mean to tell you, we threw everything at him but the kitchen sink, literally.
Well, you know what was funny was the first part of the game, I felt like we, especially the first period, I felt like we weren't shooting enough even. And the reason I say that is because we weren't sure of Ben's, so-called injury at that point. And I felt we could have directed more pucks to the net to test them a little more. We looked for the bigger, better opportunity, and a couple of times it had me cursing and swearing up in the press box because guys are passing up what I thought were good opportunities. But imagine that. We passed up a number of, chances to shoot the puck, and we still ended up with 103 shot attempts.
That was crazy.
I mean, holy shit. And then you've got, the Dallas Stars blocked 30 shots. So, they were under siege the whole time, guys. And I will say this, that the depth of the St. Louis Blues ultimately is what did in the Dallas Stars. And it's kind of like we talked about before this series started. I don't know if you guys or Gary, what you thought. I can't remember now, but I know that we definitely talked about it, Cromes, and I said that, we're deeper than any team that's left in the pool right now. And if we can grind these guys down, Game 6 and Game 7, we'll be able to cash in on that. Well, and last night was a prime example of that happening.
Yeah, it definitely happened. And the move of putting Sammy Blais was kind of, him and Bozak, to me, were kind of unsung heroes last night. But if you break the game down or you go back and look, Sammy Blais plays physical, and I believe he had a direct impact on big players for Stars. I mean, look, Jamie Benn isn't like a speed burner, but he's fast, and he's got good feet. And he looked slow. He looked slow last night, and every time he got anywhere near Sammy Blais put a body on him.
Did you see
the big hit at center ice?
I think he hurt him.
He definitely hurt him.
Yeah, Ben was hurt.
Yeah, he knocked the wind out of him on that one. And look, at Sammy Blais came in. It's amazing because, had Sammy Blais come in game one, would he have had this impact? I don't know, right? It's the old saying, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle, right? So we're never really quite sure on that one. But I do know that Sammy Blais coming in when he did, he had an impact, a huge impact in a lot of ways. He had 9 hits the other night, I believe. He had a goal. And then last night he had 8 hits again and was just, a couple of little giveaways, but, I think he's learning quickly here on the fly. But to me, guys, it just shows the depth of St. Louis Blues because I don't think Robbie Fabry was playing poorly. And obviously he was the guy to come out at that point if you're going to put Sammy Blais in. But, if we're splitting hairs like that and then we have guys like that that are just waiting in the wings to come in and make an impact, it says a lot about what we got going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. But, Fabry and they're just different players.
I'm not comparing them head to head.
I'm just saying.
What a luxury to have that.
Yeah, they're just different players. And, man, what an impact.
For me, the Sammy Blais got some attention, obviously, because of the insertion into the lineup. The guy, the unsung
hero. Oh, they're going to say because I called him.
No. No, listen, we've already added prognosticator of winners into your diatribe.
Prognosticator, did anybody notice the tweet last night when Riv said, I'd double shift 18, and then all of a sudden he was getting double shifted.
Yeah, I think, here's you my think, thing. I think he might have some inside information. You think
Ruby's got like an earplug and might. A bat phone straight to Rivers?
It's like
you
that.
You guys think that Steve Ott is talking to John
Steele? He's talking to you?
Guy. Oh, my God. Oh,
that thing's wired directly to my earpiece over there at Fox Sports Midwest. Oh, I'm having a conversation. I'm in chief view the whole time.
Of all the guys that I'm enjoying watching, especially in the playoffs, is Ivan Parbyshev. I mean, my God, what a competitor.
Yeah, but
Yeah, I would agree, but
yeah.
I mean to tell you, this guy, you know what, he's a fullback on skates right now. I mean, you talk about a guy that is running guys
That hit on on the D.
Holy crap.
That guy's huge, too. I mean, that's a big freaking defenseman, and he laid him out.
It was something.
It's pretty wild to watch it. Once again, it just shows our depth. Like, it's crazy to imagine that, you know, Ivan Barbashev is out there and with Sundqvist and Alexander Steen, and I believe Craig Berube started the game with them for sure, but I believe he started both overtime.
Started the first overtime. The first. Well,
certainly, I knew one of them.
Yeah, the second one was Schwartz's line.
Well, either way, it just shows that, you know, this team is deep, and I don't know. Barbie's playing great. Sonny's playing great. Steiner has a huge shot block there in the second period where he, out of nowhere, comes sliding across old school and takes it away. So these guys are playing hard. You could tell, you know, we talk about it a lot, but you could tell that these guys aren't done playing for each other yet. And that, to me, is what stood out, is it's a group of guys that you've seen it before where guys are just tired, right? And then it's the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, one bad play here. And it's like, it's easy to not give up, but it's easy to kind of feel sorry for yourself. Hey, this group, I'm telling you, they don't feel sorry at all for themselves. They just want to keep winning and they want to keep playing, and they don't ever want this to end.
That's true. Hey, Rivs, talk a little bit about the maturation of 55, because you saw a top defenseman play last night in 55. He was really good. And even like Edzo said during the thing, he said he's like Dennis Savard, but he's 6'6". You know, like some of the...
Oh, his little spinorama.
Yeah, like some of the small...
I don't know if he's Dennis Savard.
That's what was said. But, you know, but the point is the guy's huge and he's effective in small areas. And you know that's tough to do for a guy that size, to be that effective in a small area. And he was. And just kind of talk about the maturation of that kid, because he definitely was the best defenseman on the ice.
Well, you know, it's amazing. He's had a real breakout year, excuse me, in my opinion, and it's happened since he's been paired with Jay Bouwmeester. So I think that, you know, you have to look at that twofold, meaning that, yes, he's matured and gotten better, but you have to give a lot of credit to Jay Bouwmeester at the same time for helping him along with that development. You know, and when you look at these playoffs, he's done an excellent job of passing the puck clean out of the zone or skating the puck clean out of trouble. And he is a big man, but he skates as well as anybody else does as far as, in, you know, National Hockey League defensemen. What I really like is his play selection coming into these playoffs. Certainly the series, he's not just trying to shoot that bomb off. He's not just trying to get it through the crowd. He's actually pulling a Nick Lidstrom move last night, which, you know, that's not said lightly, but, you know, he's shooting it around the shot blockers off the end board so the puck comes back towards the front of the net, and it causes havoc for, you know, the opposing team. So he's making a lot of decisions that are really good right now. He's using his physical abilities to the best of, you know, to the best he can, and I just think that, yeah, he's maturing, but guys, I can't say enough that Jay Bouwmeester has been a real integral part of this guy's development and the way he's playing right now.
Well, yeah, that seems to make sense, because Jay, you know, when Bouwmeester came into the league, that's what he was. He was just a really good skating defenseman. Probably at some points during the night or during games, he was the best skater on the ice, forward or D. And so you can definitely see Jay's, you know, influence on 55. So last night, unsung hero for me was 21. I thought Bozak was insane good.
He did a great job. You know, he does so many little things well. And what I like about it is he's not blessed with blazing speed, but he's played so smart. And so Robert Thomas, as we all know, he was flying. And when you got a guy like that flying around, I mean, you take the leash off. You just let him go. You're like, let the dog run, and we'll just figure out where to go from there. And that's kind of what happened. And Patty Maroon, you know, Patty had a hell of a game, too.
Yeah.
Like, not just the goal. okay? Like, he had some really great offensive zone time. He had some really great plays along the wall. He had a couple of incredible back checks. I mean, you talk about the big man getting it going. He came back hard a number of times to even up the numbers on the rush or to break up a play. And, you know, that's the stuff that goes unnoticed. Certainly on the scorecard, it goes unnoticed. But that's the stuff that goes a long way. And that's why his teammates love him so much. And you see afterwards, you know, in the locker room, everybody's going nuts for Patty Maroon because they love the guy. Now, we have to talk about the centerman for that line, Tyler Bozak. And this guy has been the safety all over the ice. Any play that happens, he's in the right spot. He's right there to either support the attack or to break up the play for the other team. He's done really well on faceoffs. I mean, heck, he wins that faceoff on the game-winning goal, and it's a set play.
Set play, yeah.
I mean, the set play is for Robert Thomas to carry on and go behind Pat Maroon, and then the left D is to go down back door, and they're supposed to hit him back door. It, you know, not every set play goes perfect. So the puck kind of bounces off a guy, and then Robert Thomas decides, well, I'm going to pull my option play out here, and goes back towards the middle, toe drags a guy and rips it top shelf, and Patty Maroon puts it in, and we know the rest. But once again, Gary, like you said, that play doesn't happen unless Tyler Bozak wins the faceoff.
Yeah, I just thought he was amazing last night. And to kind of go back to what you were saying about, so Derek Pallardy and I were texting all night about how good Maroon was on the wall. Like, he's really established himself as a guy who can control the play in the offensive zone on the wall, make sure that he can find, you know, keep the puck deep in the zone and those kind of things. But again, he's able to do that, and 18's able to do what he does because 21's always in the right place. And I was just super impressed with him. But how about the freaking move 18 makes where he's down low in the corner and he backhands it off the wall to himself and then steps out? The kid was just – he was so sick last night.
You know what? It was the best part about this, and I said it the other day about Sammy Blais, is the ignorance, the youthful ignorance sometimes is amazing because, you know, these kids are – you know, they're in the moment for sure, but they don't really understand, you know, how important it is. Why? Because, you know, it's just another hockey game for them. And right now it's a hockey game to where they're having a lot of fun. It's like the ultimate backyard rink out there where they're just toe dragging and, you know, they're hip hopping and headlocking out there and they love it. And they don't understand the repercussions for a bad play. So it's great. I mean, they're out there and they're playing. And Robert Thomas, yeah, he's making plays that you're like, what is he doing? But guess what? It's working, and it doesn't matter because he's still flying around up there.
Yeah, no fear in that kid.
No fear. I love it. It's like that untainted version of a hockey player before, you know, coaches sink their hooks into them and try to change them and turn them into something maybe they're not. And so, you know, kudos to Craig Berube for letting these guys play, for not clipping their wings and letting them fly, Gary.
Yeah. So here, I got a number for you, and tell me what you thought of him last night. Because, again, I guess we could go down the lineup and say stud, stud, stud. But 10. Uh-huh. 10. Oh. Holy crap, 10.
I said before the game that he would have a big game. I thought that he would score. He didn't. But I mean, let's be honest here. He had 8 shots on net. I think he had like 6 hits or something like that. He had some block shots. He played almost 30 minutes in the game. He was a monster out there. He was a man possessed.
That's he was.
The backhand from Tarasenko as he started to head around the net right onto Shen's stick. And then, I mean, it's going. It hits the back of the defender, players, not Bishop. Yeah. I'm sitting there going, oh, my God.
I know. But I thought, honestly, guys, I thought Tarasenko had a damn good game, too.
I did,
too. He really did. He had a couple of opportunities. That play to Braden Shen, it stands out for sure, because if that doesn't hit Klingberg, the game's over, and everybody talks about the incredible play that it was. But also, you know, he had a lot of drive-wide net drive. I think in the third period, he literally had Lindell, like, laying on top of his back as he's driving the net with one hand on his stick. And so I saw a lot of positive things out of that line.
Yeah, what about the drive he had in the first OT? Lowers the shoulders, yeah. Getting cross-checked in the head. You know, like the D's draped all over him, cross-checking him in the back, and he's able to get the puck. I thought it was going in. I thought if he gets around him, it's going in. He gets around him, and then, you know, Bishop has to make another outstanding play. But, you know, Vladdy wasn't giving up for sure. I mean, 91.
No, it's a different version of Vladdy.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, he was playing hard.
I heard you on a show yesterday on ESPN talking about Vladdy, and the guy on there was disappointed in him strictly from, you know, he wanted to see more goals. And I thought you made a great point that, yeah, I mean, ultimately he gets paid to score goals, but it wasn't like he wasn't playing well. He's done a lot of things. And you know, in the playoffs, you got to be willing to play a little bit different. And I think Vladdy has stepped up and said, okay, it is a more physical game. It is a tighter game. And then I'm going to try to impose my will on you, as Gary mentioned, with some of those types of plays to where the one of the positive things you get out of that sometimes is you do get them. They take him down and you get a penalty. So I think he's pulling his weight. I mean, I do anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that right now there's some, if you can even say criticism, but there's some criticism of O'Reilly and Tarasenko. And, you know, everybody thinks they should be putting up 2 points a game and that's what they're paid for, you know. But if you really dive deep into these guys' games, especially O'Reilly, yeah, he's not getting the opportunities that he got all season, but the guy's still a workhorse. You know, he's playing over 20 minutes a game every friggin' night against the other team's top lines, and he's got a lot of heavy lifting to do. He kills every penalty. He takes every major faceoff. So when you go down the list of things that are being accomplished in a game, yes, his number doesn't come up in the goals, assists, and points, but other areas, his number is all over the place. And, you know, I think Vladdy's getting to that point, too, where if he's not able to get his number on the score sheet, per se, then he's finding other ways to make an impact. And I think that that's the leadership group that they have. I think that that's the difference this year of what they have in compared to what they may have had in years past.
Well, yeah, and to go back to your depth, look what they've done, and 90 was a little bit quiet this series as far as the score sheet, as far as putting the puck in the net or generating, you know, some assists or whatever. He wasn't completely blanked, but he wasn't what we were, you know, maybe accustomed to seeing or what our expectations were. But, and they're winning without that. That's huge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's huge, for sure.
Rivs, so we know we got Colorado and San Jose tonight. The implications are pretty simple as far as how they affect the Blues, I believe. If Colorado wins, Blues have home ice. If San Jose wins, Blues are on the road. Not that I think it – I mean, to this group, I don't know if it matters, but you know, do you ever not want to have home ice advantage? So I guess I'll start with that and ask you your thoughts. If there's somebody you'd rather play, does it matter? Is home ice advantage something you want because of a game 7 possibility just like this? I'll let you take it from there.
Well, I think personally I'd rather play the San Jose Sharks. We'll talk about home ice in a minute. But I just feel like we match up well against this team, much to the same argument I had for this Dallas team is I think we're deeper than San Jose, and I think they've got a couple of guys on that team, you know, Joe Thornton being one of them, obviously, but they got a couple of other guys that, you know, this is getting long for them, this playoff run, and they play a lot of minutes, and, you know, they could be tired out pretty quickly, and they rely big time on 2 defensemen, 3, I guess, if you go with Vlasic, but once again, 3 defensemen, just like Dallas relied upon. And Martin Jones, guys, let's be honest. If we had 103 attempts on Martin Jones, I'd argue that game was probably over in the first period yesterday. I mean, he's not Ben Bishop.
No, so not even that, close.
You know, I think that our matchup against that team is a better head-to-head. Colorado has some youth on their side and some young guys that can flat-out fly. And the Nathan MacKinnon factor, I mean, this guy, every time he touches the puck – he's a highlight reel waiting to happen, and he's a, you know, every time he touches it, he's a threat to score. Yeah. So I just, I worry about that young group of guys who could gain momentum that way. So my preference would be San Jose. And as far as starting on the road or at home, guys, I don't think any of that has had any impact on the St. Louis Blues this playoff. I do feel like having game seven here in this series helped them a lot. And you know, you could look ahead and say, well, you know, wouldn't you want that for the next game seven? But I honestly think if we play the San Jose Sharks, it won't go seven games.
Man, I agree with that. I mean, so, you know, Ribs, you got to take whoever you get. But I agree with you on the Shark thing. Their D-core aren't going to want to chase the Blues around on that cycle all day. Like, that's not what they're about. The Sharks' D-core is about playing offense. They want to jump up into play and move the puck and get their goals and whatever. As far as playing defense, I'm not going to tell you they're terrible because they're not. But the truth is they're not going to want to chase Thomas, and they're not going to want to battle Seven and chase Schwartz and Perron around and have to worry about Shin down low. Like, that's just – the Blues will wear that D down quickly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, they wore down the Dallas D. I mean, they really did. At the end of it all here, Klingberg was really the only guy that had anything left. Heiskanen, as good as he played, if you look at games 1, 2, and 3, I mean, he was all over the ice. He was up in every rush, and he was a pain in the butt. And then you look at these last two games, and you're like, okay, he was solid, but he wasn't that guy that was supporting the rush every time. He looked like he was out of gas. So, you know, if you can literally pound the gas out of a young kid like that, then, you know, guys like Carlson and Brent Burns, as big as they are or as fleet of foot as they are, that's going to slow them down. And let's not forget, they're playing a game seven here tonight.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? This has been a taxing playoff year for that San Jose Sharks team.
Absolutely. And I think the same can be said for their forwards. You know, Kane and Hurdle, they're not interested in chasing the Blues around, and when the Blues have zone possession like they've been accustomed to having since January 2nd and long zone offensive zone time, those forwards aren't going to want to be part of that. And Thornton, I think he's my age, so he definitely isn't going to want to chase them around.
No, I know. And I do, believe it or not, I worry more about Thornton. And the reason I do is because it's just like anybody who's been a competitor their whole life. He may view this as this is his last chance, and we may get the very best hockey he's ever played in his life because he's emptying the tanks. And if that's the case, then we'll have to be ready for it. But I don't count him out. He's like the wild card where, you know, I'd like to just grind him down. Let's keep him in check. Let's not assume that because he's old, he's going to be slow and terrible. He still has the ability to win a game on his own. So
I'm not going to assume it, but I'm going to wish it on him.
Yeah, there you go. That's okay. That I can deal with.
All right, guys. So we'll go around because I got something I think's great, by the way. So I'm going to let you guys go first. But greatest, like, it'd be really easy to say, of course, Pat Maroon scoring, but you got to pick one other thing. Greatest moment last night for you. Gary Start.
Greatest moment for me last
besides
night?
Pat Maroon scoring. Right. You got another moment. Anything you want to say?
I think it was the breakaway in the first period when Bennington just snapped his glove out and just, like, he made the save and then showed it to him. You know what I mean? Yeah. So people say he's quiet and he's understated or whatever. He may be, but when he made that save last night, I felt like that was like, I was like, holy crap, he'll steal this game if we need him to.
Yeah, and I mine's going to be Bennington too. Was the I think it was the overtime period where this shot from the corner, he makes the save, and then, you know, Jamie Benn goes to do the wraparound and he slides across with his leg, and it looked awfully close to being a goal, but upon further review, you know, he gets the pad over there and keeps the puck out literally off the goal line and makes the save. So to me, that would be another huge part of the game.
Greatest moment by far after they score is Sammy Blay completely face diving over the boards. Have you seen this video yet?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I have not seen that one yet.
There's a whole, You got Berube's giving you a gladiator moment. The arms go up as if to say, are you not entertained? And Sammy Blay goes to jump over the boards and it. Completely goes face first into the ice. And he hops up and skates away. It is by That's far, awesome. if you love this whole thing, it's by far the greatest moment ever. But
That's awesome.
Let me tell you, I'm beyond excited. I don't know. So, Revs, before you go, so Kimby and Gary have their chairs on market. Are you ready to take yours down there?
Come on. We're not letting
no,
you.
No, I'm not ready to take the chair down there yet. I'm ready to start looking online at chairs that I might purchase.
Get you one of them anti-gravity chairs.
Those if nice. We... We get past the next round, I'll order it, and I'll find a spot down there, and I'll chain it to Kimby and Gary.
You know, anybody around I tell the story around here that years ago, the third leg of the Triple Crown in a big office pool, I got Barbaro, and he should have won the Triple Crown going away, but I get him in a pool for a bunch of money, and the horse dies. So this year,
die.
Yeah, he did.
He died later.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. So then this year, no, this is the truth. Gary knows this. This year, our boy Coop says, hey, we're doing it. It's $50 a man. You know, there's 20 horses, $1,000, one horse is out. So 19 horses, right? $950, 50 a man. Your boy Chrome gets maximum security. Okay? This is a true story. So I think I better just leave my chair at home, not jinx anybody, and just stay right where I'm at.
Stay in your lane.
I'm going to stay in my lane.
Stay in your
lane. You're kind of a standing guy anyway.
I am a stander.
Hey, not to, because we can get into it later, but, you know, Coach Berube, every button he pushes is right so far. And, you know, the Blues, and we can talk about this in depth at some other time, but just real quick, the Blues have had a lot of coaches that were like technical, like Davis Payne, and even Hitchcock's a little bit technical on the D side, and then whatever with, but Berube just seems to be like a hockey player standing back there, you know, just like,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like yeah. He's not overly technical, and he's just like, you know what, boys, just go work.
Yeah.
Just do your job and work hard. And man, the team has that identity, and it doesn't seem like they're overly technical. And I just love everything about it.
Yeah, no, he does keep it simple. The number one thing for him is effort. Yeah. So, you know, every system that coaches hand out there these days are very similar, and they all work if you work really hard, and it certainly outwork the opposition. So that's really what it comes down to, is outwork the guy across from you, and our systems will probably work. And that's what he's been doing, and the players believe in him, which is the biggest thing. You know, a lot of times coaches make decisions, and players kind of go, what the heck is he thinking? You know, or they talk amongst themselves and be like, I don't know about this guy, you know? That doesn't happen with Craig Berube.
Right.
Every decision now, because he's done such a good job, no matter what he decides, the players are like, yep, okay, that's what we're doing. And they just go out there and they execute.
Well, you saw that too, like just a little bit of it in the interview with Thomas last night. And granted, you hear this sometimes, but it's not something that's – Thomas just said, you know, coach has us playing a certain way. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It matters what we're doing, you know, and if we play our game, it doesn't matter what they do. We're just going to be better and we're going to win. Like, that's essentially what he was saying.
I know. So we'll see. Hopefully he can keep it together for a couple more rounds. I don't see any reason why he'd change. He's already had some high pressure situations, and he's stuck to his own beliefs and stuck to the program, and it's worked. So I think the Chief are just going to keep plowing forward with us.
I love his post game. Yeah. I love his post game. It's just like, well, you know, he's pretty good at that.
Wait, let me tell you what, too, though. Let me tell you.
So, hey, what'd you think? What'd you think of 7 tonight? Well, you know, he's pretty good.
Yeah, hey, and let me tell you. This is the So when I had my night of all nights, and that Rivs helped orchestrate for me, my little press pass, I got to sit like in the second row for his press conference. He almost makes you nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, he puts his hands up on the podium
And he's brought, right? Yeah, like, and he's still put together like a tank.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll ask him a couple questions and he'll look at him like,
but like
he'll kind of look through him a little bit and answer very nicely, which makes you really nervous.
Or like, he laughs at him.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I'm like sitting there going, like, I felt bad a couple times. I wanted to go, hey, why would you say that? But I didn't. I'm like, okay. He was pretty good about it, the way he handled it. I just thought it was great.
Chrome's the most important thing is, did he take a moment when it was all said and done and compliment you on your tan?
He did.
Okay. Hold on. I got something quick to say. I think Bernie Federico has Cromer beat.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I almost sent a text to all you last night that said, man, look at Federico's tan.
Federico's on the Cromer program. He goes into the St. Louis tan and he goes, give me the Cromer.
He's got it going on for sure. But what a great night. And, man, what an outstanding run this has been. And I'm with you, Ribs. I just don't think these guys are done. I think something special going on here.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it for days on end because I feel like that's a little bit of bad juju. Yeah. But I do think these guys like each other. You hear the captain last night, Alex Petrangelo, talk about how proud he is of the group, and he gets emotional a little bit about it in front of all the media. And there's something going on there, guys. When you have several guys that get almost choked up as they talk about the group of players that are in the room with them and the coaching staff, I mean, that's very unique, especially in sports these days. So, like I said, I'm not going to go buy the chair and put it down on market, but I've been really impressed with what these guys have been able to do, and it's been real exciting so far.
I think one thing, I think the media darling, Rivs, I think what you need to do is...
Rivs is a media darling?
He's a media darling.
Okay. Wow, man.
In all of your platforms, I think you need to...
All of his platforms.
I do. I think you need to emphasize the crowd's got to get up and get loud and stay loud the whole night. The Blues, and granted, I know why, but the Blues crowd last night was a little on edge, and they were waiting for the bottom to fall out sometimes, and they just...
Yeah, it did get quiet at times. I did notice that. Now,
there were also times it was wild.
It's a high stress game, and people probably don't know whether to clap or shit their pants. I know I felt that way.
Listen.
But we've talked about it before a couple of shows ago, to get up out of your seats and let it be known. And I thought that the overtime period, there was a good buzz going through the building.
Yeah.
And, it's when it matters the most.
Yeah, and it's completely okay to be on edge because we've lived through we've lived through a lot of shit. Yeah. But when you have games like this, when you get goals by Troy Brower in big situations, and a guy like Pat Maroon scores, the way you feel makes it all worth it. That's how I feel. Like last night, it was so awesome to watch it happen and watch the whole thing go down, and afterwards just kind of breathe. Just breathe, let it out. Well, Ribs, awesome. I'm 100% sure you've got no less than, as Gary has pointed out, since you're a media darling, have no less than hours and hours of work. But I want to point out one more time an unbelievable moment in 2019 of a St. Louis kid scoring on a St. Louis goalie, and you've had a big impact on that with SynergyHockeySkills.com. St. Louis putting its name out there as
again.
With all the things that are going on. And so, that leads us into the obvious segue. Now, for the SynergyHockeySkills.com, for all of you out there that have kids playing and want to help them improve their game and have fun with the game and learn through the game is one thing. Now, what I cannot promise are the adults that do your adult camp will be scoring in Game 7 anytime soon, but they will be having a good time, I assure you.
Yes, the adult camp is up and running and ready for registration. And although the results expected from that camp are slightly different than what we usually expect out of our group, the expectations at the same time are that everybody has a great time and has fun. So looking forward to that. Get on the website, register for the adult skills camp, and have some fun with that. And then otherwise, go to summer camps, click on a rink that is good for you and a date that works for you, and sign them up because they are going very quickly.
Well, great stuff as always. We'll have to put together. I know you have your, I mean, you're special. You have your own intro music. We might need a person to stand there before you come in, speak of all your titles and bring you in.
Jerome Miss Sunday. MD.
Miss Sunday. Media. You get your own. But let me tell you, man, we appreciate you very much. I know our listeners do as well. And let's, you know, I can only imagine, let's hope we have numerous shows like this where we have great back and forth about not only the team, but the crowd and the atmosphere and just everything that goes along with it. So looking forward to it. I guess we'll have to see what happens tonight. And then once the schedule gets released, we'll kind of let all our listeners know kind of when we're targeting doing the shows.
Sounds good, boys. Let's keep this going.
All right. That is the one, the only Jamie Rivers, breaker of chains, you know, mother of
you
dragons.
You know what I want to see?
What?
So someone sent me a video this morning. Craig Boss sent me a video this morning, and it's of the call. It's Kerber and Vitale.
Yeah, I just saw it on Twitter.
You saw that?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's cool. I want somebody to just sit a camera off to the side and watch Rivs during the game.
I would have, yeah.
I guarantee you he cussed at 49 when 49 didn't shoot.
You know, what we're going to do, Rivs is obviously too busy now to do it, but what I want to do next year is our friend John does the Cowboys podcast, yeah. Dallas Cowboys, big Dallas Cowboy fan. He has a huge following. And something that they started doing is during primetime Cowboy games, they would come in the studio. Now, obviously, you can't show the game, but they have the ability to do both Facebook Live and YouTube in our studio.
Right.
And what they do is they come in, and the camera's on them, and they're talking to their mics, and they all watch the game together, and they talk about what's going on in the game.
It's
and then
cool.
They provide a phone number, and people can actually call in and talk to you while the game's going on. So I've had a bunch of people say, you guys should really do that, like during an away game, especially if it was Blues Hawks or something like that.
No, a lot of fun.
Just something. So
I've seen them do the Cowboy thing, and I love it.
I think next year that's something that I talked to Rivs about, and obviously, you know, it's him and Kimby and their schedules. But if we could do that, I know people would love to have the insight into some of the text messages that we have going on during things like that. But it would be a lot of fun. So I think we're going to try to do that next year. Can you imagine if we'd been doing it last night?
No, I can't. I don't know. People would have seen me crying all over the place.
You had how many heart attacks you have?
Oh my God!
More than Fred G. Sanford.
See those texts?
The G stands for El Segundo.
Sending those heart attacks.
I know
texts.
It was great. So, yeah, that's something I know we want to try to do in the future because it will be a lot of fun. Well, listen.
Who was your unsung hero last night?
I just said Barbashev. I just 49. Love the way the guy plays. Yeah. Listen.
There were a lot of choices.
Not
going to
shut. Listen, I just wanted to go with somebody not obvious. But my point was I just like to bring some attention, I think, to the things that go on that you kind of forget about that impact a game. And if you're going to talk about, because I felt that Dallas looked worn down to me, as Webbs was mentioned. Well, how do you think that happens?
Well, and if you want to talk about, like you said earlier, like the inches, you know, like it came down to like, you know, he missed the net by an inch or this and that. So, like, remember the backhander Dallas had in the overtime where he's like, all he's got to do is tuck it over Bennington's pad.
Yes.
You remember in the third period late, the missed one-timer that went across the blue slot and one of the Dallas starters was wide open for a one-timer and just fanned on it.
Yes.
Those things happen not because the skill isn't there.
It's because you're tired.
It's because you're tired.
Yeah.
And you don't get the puck on the heel of your stick on a backhand. You get it on the toe of your stick and you miss the net because you're tired. Okay, you missed the one-timer because you're just a little bit off because you don't have that energy, and the Blues did that. So people can say all they want about the fact that, you know, Dallas had their chances and didn't capitalize and kind of choked or whatever the people are going to say. But the reality is those are things that are directly impacted by the St. Louis Blues wearing down the Dallas Stars. That's the truth of the matter because of when they happened. They happened late in the game. You know, Dallas had opportunities late in the game and didn't capitalize, and it's because they were worn down.
Well, I think then to Ribs's point, if we are to get San Jose, even though they would have a home ice advantage, another game for them tonight, we would pick up the extra day of rest. You know, at this juncture, you play who you play.
Yeah, you know, I always hate that conversation of who you would rather play. I know it's part of what we do, and you know, if we're going to talk about who the better matchup is, I agree that I think San Jose doesn't match up well against the St. Louis Blues, but I don't think I don't think Colorado does either right now. I think the Blues are a hard team to play against, and they've been proving it for longer than just this series.
Well, I got to stop you because what was the one thing we said when that first couple months, 2-3 months of the season, they weren't hard to play against. Right. They were predictable.
Right.
They weren't. They didn't pressure you into mistakes. Right. They didn't wear you down.
They didn't play heavy.
And again, we're going to come back to this just screams of the identity of their coach.
Yeah.
And I hate to disrespect the guy that was here before. I'm not disrespecting Mike Yeo. And to Jamie's point about Mike Yeo, Mike Yeo's a hard-nosed guy. So I will say this. All I can say is this. Sometimes it just doesn't work. It's not, but I don't care what the reason is. This works. Who cares?
Well, Mike Yeo was a hard-nosed guy, but he didn't coach that way, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe not.
He didn't coach that way. And all of these coaches that we've had, and I mentioned it earlier about this, you know, and they all seem overly technical. It didn't work here. And the core of this team is still here. And it didn't work and didn't work and didn't work. And all of a sudden you bring in a guy like Berube, who's all about effort and just, you know, holding guys accountable. And you were accountable for your effort seems to work. And it's been working for a while. And good for him. And maybe the St. Louis Blues and the core that is here and has been here and played in this city for a long time. Maybe this is what they needed all along, and I'm glad it showed up now.
Well, so are you in agreement? You're good with San Jose?
Yeah.
Colorado?
If I have to pick, I'm going to say I want San Jose. But we're not going to get to pick.
Sure. Yeah, they're going to decide.
They're going to decide who it is, but... You know, I just don't think like I said when we was talking Ribs, I don't think the core D of the Sharks is interested in playing the type of game the Blues play. Like they're not. You know, they're big boys and they can move and they can move the puck and they've got good feet and great shots but the reality is they're not going to in the same with the Sharks forwards. They're not going to want to chase the Blues around when they hold the puck and down low for 40 freaking seconds. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a more dominant offensive zone pressure out of a St. Louis Blues team than we have right now. Even when Hulley was here, like, you didn't have a bunch of sustained pressure. They got the puck down low, and then Brett would find a soft spot, and you'd give it to him, and you'd bury it. This team grinds you down.
No, I agree.
Like they just cycle. And sometimes, you know, you're like, Jesus, is anybody ever going to go to the net? You know, is anybody ever going to shoot?
It can get frustrating a little bit.
But they're in control of the puck the whole time. And the other team's D, it's like, here's what I said to somebody. Watching the Blues is similar to watching like Ali Foreman when they fought. Ali just hung on for... till Foreman was tired and then just knocked him out.
Yep.
And I, you know, that's what the Blues do, you know, and they just hold on to the puck so long and they keep it cycling. And the D aren't hooked to the blue line, the Blues D. They join the cycle. How many times last night did you see and hear the NBC commentators comment on there's another Blues defenseman below the goal line? You know, that's hard to do when five guys are willing to do that much work down low. You're going to get wore down, and I think, like I said, I don't think the Sharks are interested in that type of game.
Well, I will say this. I appreciate the effort, win or lose, because I think that's what Blues fans expect from their team.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it would have been okay today if they would have lost, but that would have been a game that you wouldn't have walked away from and said, same old Blues.
No, definitely.
You know
not.
What I'm saying? No.
And you'd have, people would have been saying, hey, St. Louis kid beat them last night. You know, like, what a statement for St. Louis. But anyway, yeah, unbelievable goaltending by Ben Bishop last night.
Yeah, you know, gracious in defeat. But a defeat, like, nonetheless.
How about? Do you remember the shot in the first OT? The 27 walks in line and gets off a little snapshot,
yeah.
And he makes a save with his right leg.
Yes.
Watch how far behind him that puck is. Like that puck passed his torso and hit his toe. Like that's a hell of a save.
Well, you always talk about the benefit of size, yeah. Especially in the net.
Well,
that's
there you
one.
Go.
I will say this. Let's just enjoy right now, find out who we play tonight, and let the guys that have been put us in this position figure out how they're going to attack. Whoever it is they attack, let's get behind it and let's roll. I mean, that's all we can do.
Just play the same way, just
yeah.
Like they were saying.
I was going to say.
Even 19-year-old Robert Thomas says it doesn't matter what they do.
That I love that statement, by the way.
That's a 19-year-old. He yeah. just looks. He looked the reporter right now and said, it doesn't matter what they do. We play the way we play. It doesn't matter.
Well, I need some. I'm hungry.
You are?
It's Adam Smokehouse time, I think.
Whoa.
Doesn't sound good?
Always sounds good.
Always sounds good. Adam Smokehouse, folks, we appreciate them and their continued support as well. Don't forget, open till 7, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Box lunches is a specialty of theirs. And, of course, if you need catering. I always say this. You're a golfer like I am. I mean, can you imagine getting in the clubhouse afterwards and there being some Adam Smokehouse there at your event?
I told you that. You said that before. I don't know if I'd make the turn. Like, if I knew it was in there, yeah. I'm fairly certain the minute I got close.
If we were there, they'd make sure they didn't bring it until it was almost over.
Well,
that
yeah.
would probably be the smartest thing they'd do. Well, but
if
folks,
you look at me, you know, bringing food in is dangerous.
Great barbecue. I say it all the time. Great barbecue places in St. Louis. We're very fortunate if you're a barbecue lover, for sure. And we may be partial, but we think without question, if you try them out, you won't regret it. It's Adam Smokehouse by a mile, in our opinion. I love Mike. I love the staff. Our friend Polo Asensio, the Spanish broadcaster for the Cardinals and friend of our shows, had tweeted out yesterday he got into town and headed straight to Adams, and once again, they didn't disappoint. So that's Adam Smokehouse, folks. Great barbecue places all around, but Adam Smokehouse is the name that you should check out. St. Louis, here's your cue. Our friend Nelson Land Services, special congrats, you know, Stephanie and her work with the St. Louis Outreach for the Kids with Cancer.
That's awesome.
They had from what I understand, they had an unbelievable event. I know some kids that participated in it, and they said it was absolutely awesome. Kids out there helping other kids by raising money and what they did. Stephanie's going to come on and kind of recap the event for us as we'll get her here in studio, and then talk a little bit about how they want to go forward with this event and grow it and make a difference. But that's Nelson Land Services, 5-star locally rated landscaping company with reasonable prices and just a tremendous family that wants to give back into their community. So give them an opportunity for your business. And never forget our man Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Construction, heating and cooling, and electric team always ready and at your disposal. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Innovative Companies is the name you can know and trust. You can learn more about Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com. Set up a meeting. Get to meet the guy. I'm telling you, once you shake his hand and look him in the eye, you'll be like, you know, Jim's right. He is exactly who he said he is. 35 years experience and a second-generation craftsman that takes his work serious. That's Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Hey, got to tell you, too, heard from Noel Buckingham.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he texted me. They're lucky. Like they bring home victories. That's what him and his wife do.
That's what they do?
Yeah, they were in Dallas the last time and brought home victory.
Come on.
Yes, and now they brought home victory in Game 7. Well,
they better get with the travel agent.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe Buckingham Pest Control should be the official pest control, the St. Louis Blues, and then they just throw Noel and his wife on the plane.
Okay.
Noel would probably be okay with that. His
wife, I'm sure he would be.
You know, his wife may be like, I'm not quite sure about this.
Nah,
but
she'll be good with it.
No, she might be okay with it. But Buckingham Pest Services, you guys hear us talk about him now on the show. One of our newest partners, and we're asking you to support him by giving him your business when it comes to your pest control. Everybody needs it, especially this time of year as bugs are finding their way into the house, coming up out of the ground, doing what they got to do. I'm telling you, folks, if you got to do it, it's Buckingham Pest Services. And as Gary loves, they don't kill penalties, but they kill pests and pass the savings on to you. That's Buckingham Pest Control. Check out their Facebook page. Make sure you like it. You learn. You never know when he's going to give away his tickets.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not quite sure he's going to give away tickets to round three or four, but I'd at least want to know if he thought about it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Hey, speak
what?
Before we go, okay, on the Buckingham Pest Control portion, yeah, of this.
Yeah.
We didn't take a penalty last night. Were you surprised? We had two power plays. They had none.
No.
I mean, the way they call it in the playoffs, I mean, didn't you think they were going to try to even it up? If we'd have breathed wrong on somebody, I thought they'd have called it. But
there were a couple times that I looked at the ref. You know, there was a couple times. But now the one that seems to be the topic of that conversation is when when Schwartz just takes out, who'd he take out? The kid from the Rangers. Anyway, Zuccarello.
Zuccarello, yeah.
Yes. There was no chance Zuccarello was getting that puck.
No.
I mean, and how great was that to
That's
see?
That's interference. Because, I mean, all day long, twice on Sunday.
I'm going to tell you. If I'm on the
I had to rewind to see who saved the
if
day.
If I'm
there
on the Dallas bench,
oh, I'm losing my mind.
I'm barking. But you know how many times have we said in conversations over the, how do you just let a guy just stand there, or how do you just let a guy cruise through the slot? Why isn't somebody taking him out? And if you have a penalty there, you have a penalty, but you can't let a guy just go cruising through the slot. And Schwartz put Zuccarello in the, like, third row. He ripped him. He ripped him.
Yes. I had to rewind to see who it was.
It was great.
I'm like, somebody just saved the day. I have no idea who it is. And not only did they save the day, they got away with it.
Right, but look in the background and look at the referee. He's looking right at it, and you can just see that he's dreading every minute of it. Yes. Like, you know, his face is just like, shit.
Yeah,
I can't make that call. I should make the call, but yeah, no penalties. Which, you know, penalties. For example, their penalties that they got last night, those are stick fouls. You know, those are guys being a little lazy, like the scissor on Tarasenko when he was coming out of the zone. That's just a lazy play by the Stars. Like, you, instead of sticking your stick there, you got to move your feet. And use your feet to take away space and time and back pressure there in that scenario. And when you're reaching with your stick, you're tired. And when you're reaching with your stick, you're going to put yourself in a bad situation. And they did twice last night. And it's something I don't think the Blues did. I really don't recall. I mean, there's one, other than the Schwartz one, there was one other time I thought the Blues got a stick on somebody and he went down. It might have been Perron down in the corner. Forget what period or overtime it was, that was really the only time. But you didn't really see the Blues being lazy like that. They weren't reaching with their sticks. And I tell my guys all the time, if you're reaching, you're lazy. And if you're reaching, you need to get off the ice. So,
well, let's sit back and enjoy, folks. I don't know what else to tell you, but I hope you guys have enjoyed this show and the fact that there's going to be, well, at least four or five more minimum, right?
Yeah.
Minimum.
Pretty cool.
So, great stuff as always. I want to remind you guys to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. We're asking everybody to do that. It's just easier for you as you'll get notifications when these shows come out. Find us on all of our social media outlets. You can start with Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back because we're interested in what you have to say. You can also find us on Facebook. That's our biggest push right now as we're trying to grow our community there. Type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. You're not done. Click invite your friends. Please do that as well. When you see our pinned post, that's the show. Another way for us to reach more people and get them involved is if you like that post, comment on it, and most importantly, share it. Then that reaches more people, and then we can try to bring them into our community. Find us on Instagram as well, Blues NHL Podcast. And, of course, we are part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio, the newest streaming platform. for all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast. Let's go, Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.